Father, we thank you for your word. You know, Lord, it is life-changing. Father, I believe it's life-changing any time, but I'm praying you'd help us open ourselves to it this morning. I pray, God, that your word would be read with honor and the truth would settle on fertile soil. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to read two accounts of the Christmas story. Now, up until about 5:45 a.m. this morning, I had something totally different. We're going to watch a video and look at a PowerPoint. But I believe that God was working on me last night and throughout the night to say, Dan, I want you to look and read together the Christmas story, but look at it, try to look at it from a little bit different perspective. And here's the difference that I would try to encourage us to look at it this morning. That we don't know the outcome. We're going to read the story about the Magi and the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and Simeon. We're going to read about all those, again, that all of us have heard probably so many times that we could probably don't even have to read it, we could tell it. But one of the things about that story is this. All those characters knew some things about the potential outcome, but they didn't know it in detail like we know it. And so I believe today the challenge for the church as a whole, particularly in this culture, is can we breathe freshness into that story so God can refresh us and cast a vision in our lives again instead of going ahead with what we already know is the outcome? Is God going to be able to speak to us today through this story to show that I believe at times our expectations that we believe we know have become a little skewed? They're not quite what God would have them be, I believe. Because we're down to a little over a month when we celebrate our Savior's birth. And of course, we celebrate it more than one time a year, of course. But when there's a concentrated effort, when the focus becomes on reading this story many, many times. So this morning, I want us to read this story out loud. But I want to ask a question before we start this morning. If we could go back in time, and we could ask the Magi, and we could ask the shepherds, we could ask Joseph, Mary, Simeon, any of the people, Elizabeth, any of the people that you know are in this story, okay, even if I didn't name them, what do you believe they were expecting on the day that Jesus was born? What do you believe their expectations were? What was their mindset? What did they believe was really taking place in that season and leading up and to the Jesus' birth? What do you believe their expectations were? See, I think a lot of times we read these stories, the birth and the announcement and all that, kind of like our small children do on Christmas morning, meaning I'm not really interested in the wrapping. I just want to get to my gifts and get them open so I can get to playing with them. And I'm not saying in itself that's a bad thing, but we can't miss the fact that there's a preparation time, a lead up, that there was an effort. How many times have you said on whenever you guys may open your gifts with your family, boy, we took a lot of time to get ready, but the actual event went like that. Went quickly, didn't it? And so one of the things I want us to, the reason why I'm talking about this so much this morning is this. God is doing something today on November the 20th, 2011, inside our lives, in us. Okay? So while we know of a future event, we should expect something of Him this morning. So what else do you think about expectations from the people, from the characters? Let's read some. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Someone wants to begin to read there. We're going to read through into chapter 2, but you don't have to read all of them. Someone just wants to begin in verse 18 in chapter 1, please. All right, I want to point out something to you real quick before we flip over to chapter 2 of Luke and continue the story. Do you really grasp how frequently we already have seen the power of God? The Magi, astrologers, they recognized the hand of God in dreams. We saw Joseph. We see the power of God. We see supernatural, miraculous things happening before the birth ever takes place. I mean, I want you to realize that this morning, that we don't have to wait to a future point in time, that the power of God is moving now. Now. Okay? That's chapter 2 of Luke. We're going to pick up the more traditional scripture that's read. I need somebody to read chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. You don't have to read the whole thing, but if someone would at least begin us. Question for you. Now, you can make it personal if you want to, but I'm going to let you off the hook by making it too personal for you. But listen carefully. What do you believe the church's expectation is for this season in America? What do you believe the church in America's expectation is for this season? I'm letting you off the hook because I'm not. Terry's back there shaking her head already. She's probably kind of thinking like I'm thinking. But I want you to pause and think about that for a second and then share. I want you to keep thinking, but here's one of the things I'm really trying to hammer to us today is this. While yes, tomorrow is not promised, there's probably most of us here, we'll probably make it through December the 25th, okay? We'll probably be around then, no guarantee. But you're only going to get one shot at 2011, okay? You're only going to get one shot at this. And as I was trying to stress to our youth in our little group the other night, is we're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable to this. And so we don't want to just let it go by again and let these stories be the same stories that we've heard over and over, go through the same things. The animals will be here in a few weeks and we'll be doing all those things, but missing the fact that you've only got one chance at this. Okay? Now, you probably will be around 2012, okay? But we have to make good on what we've been given. And that's now. That's now. And I want to stress that to us. Because I know I can be very guilty of very haphazard living. Kind of the, oh well, I'll get around to it. So what else? Thoughts on the church in America's expectation of this season. It is tough to grasp God being man. I just want to encourage you. You know, the Magi, Joseph and Mary, Simeon, all the shepherds, there was an awe factor. And, you know, I don't know what the Magi said when they got home, but I guarantee you they didn't keep quiet. Because you don't go all that effort and have all those incredible, miraculous things happen just to get home and say, it was a nice trip. Okay? But I want to challenge you to pick this word up and look at any part, but look at the awe and wonder that they had. But I want to challenge you to do it on January the 1st, on January the 30th, on December the 26th, and pick it up. And all those things that we shared about being Christmas every day, yeah, those are true. But we still have the responsibility to do it. So I challenge you hard this season to let the awe and wonder refresh you. And if we're blinded in any way, that God would remove the blindness. Because all that's true. We know the world's going to hell. We know that. But there's still the responsibility. And we've been given the privilege of that responsibility. Amen, Brother Bob? Tell people about Jesus. That responsibility hadn't gone away, has it? God, we thank You for this word. Lord, I pray that Your will in heaven, Your perfect will in heaven, will be worked out into our individual lives now. Today, Lord, we would be willing, ready, and able vessels. It is all about You, and forgive us when we think it's all about us. In Jesus' name.